Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
This is a special edition of Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
Kobe Bryant gave the Los Angeles Lakers 20 years of greatness. We all wanted to be like Kobe.
Watching Kobe play at the Great Western Forum as a rookie made this little girl believe she could be a Laker one day.
Kobe's inspiration went way beyond the game of basketball.
I grew up watching Kobe Bryant, game after game, ring after ring, living his greatness without apology. I wanted to be just like him.
Tonight, we'll talk about how Kobe Bryant inspired us and how we'll continue his legacy.
We continue a celebration of life for Kobe and Gianna Bryant. This is a special edition of Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
So Sabrina Ionescu was at the memorial today, and she spoke on Kobe Bryant. And before I play one of her clips, it was mentioned that she had a game tonight at Stanford, and I just read the story on ESPN.com right now. Oregon guard Sabrina Ionescu on Monday night became the first Division I college basketball player, men or women, to collect 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists in a career. And that's obviously just kind of has a different meaning to it, especially for the mere fact that she just hours before was down here at the memorial.
And she did it on 2/24/20, if you believe in the numbers and stuff like that.
Here's Sabrina Ionescu from earlier today at Staples Center.
His vision for others is always bigger than what they imagine for themselves. His vision for me was way bigger than my own. More importantly, he didn't just show up in my life and leave. He stayed. We kept in touch, always texting, calls, game visits. I'd drop a triple-double and have a text from him. A double triple-double I see with a flex emoji. Another game, another text. Yo, beast mode, or easy money. I felt some pressure early on in the season, and he wrote to me, be you. It's been good enough, and that will continue to be good enough.
All right, that's Sabrina Ionescu. Pretty amazing accomplishment today for her to have that speech a little bit earlier today. And then go take on Stanford on the road, and to have that happen. She's the, like I said, first Division I college basketball player, men or women, to collect 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 1,000 assists in a career. Emmanuel in Downey. Emmanuel, what did you think of today's memorial?
Man, it was so beautiful. I cried. I just, what Michael Jordan said, everybody just, it just reiterated why we love Kobe Bryant so much. And you know, man, I'm born and raised in L.A. I'm 53 years old. I went through the Magic Johnson era, and then I went through the Kobe and Shaq era, and I've seen some great players in L.A. And Kobe was special because his love for the game was not an act. We thought it was when he first came, people mistaking it for arrogance and so forth. But as we watched the kid grow up, he was a hard worker. That's why people love Kobe Bryant. He worked for everything he got, and he gave everything he got. And I wanted to just share a quick story. I got the experience with Kobe Bryant. There's a league, a summer basketball league called the Drew League in L.A.
Of course.
And it's been going on forever. I'm close to the owner, Dino Smiley. And I was fortunate enough to be the photographer during the time Kobe Bryant played his only time. The only time in his whole career he played at the Drew League. Hmm. I happened to be the photographer there. And I remember it was like a little recreational gym, just like at your local park. So it was an intimate setting. And you had James Harden there. You had DeMar DeRozan. A lot of NBA players was there. Mm-hmm. And during the game, James Harden and Kobe was going at it. I mean, this was an exhibition game, but they were playing hard. And James Harden was giving it to Kobe. And I'm telling you, man, it was about 5 seconds left, and Kobe's team was down by 2 points. James Harden's team was up. And everybody in the arena, you could taste it. Like, this is a Kobe moment. Mm-hmm. This is a Kobe moment. And so Kobe's team gets the ball. Kobe brings it up court. The clock is ticking down to zero. He goes one way to the base, not baseline, but the out-of-bounds line, and mm-hmm. brings James Harden back up to the top of the key. There's a fadeaway three-pointer. Buzzer sounds, all net. All net. That's Kobe Bryant. That's Kobe Bryant. The whole place erupted. It was amazing, man. And that's my favorite Kobe Bryant moment because he was there in the city that he represented amongst the people, and he gave a performance at an exhibition game, and he gave us what we love.
Appreciate you sharing that story. Thank you, Emmanuel. Appreciate you sharing that story. And we saw that, whether that was in a gym at the Drew League or was in front of 20,000 people in Utah or in Denver or in San Antonio or right here at Staples Center. I love kind of calling it that Kobe moment. You know, it takes on its own.
Those were always whenever he shows up at the Drew League or Rutgers Park. Those were like the one of my favorite moments of Kobe's career, when he goes to this, you know, the playground and schools
that?
These guys.
Do you remember when he did that at Rutgers Park?
I remember it like yesterday.
And this was after one of his championships.
Yeah, I think it was 2002, right after the three-peat.
There's some kind of documentary on that. Mm-hmm. I think him getting out there, but that's.
And I don't know, Alan. I don't know if you know about Rutgers Park or whatever, but they give guys nicknames out there, and his nickname, get this, was Lord of the Rings.
That is awesome.
The best nickname I've ever heard.
That's
the Lord of the Rings.
The only nickname you want in professional sports. Lakers Talk is presented by the Wallace Firm. Injured, need a win? You need to call the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case if you're injured. Get the W. Call 844-844-WINS. Or visit wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. I want to continue taking more of your guys' phone calls. If anybody has a story like that, like Emmanuel just told, feel free to share that story. You had a stat too, Funches. I just want to get this out from you real quick. You were talking a little bit about Bradley Beal. You with me there, Funches? You had that stat about Bradley Beal. So you said Bradley Beal had 250 point
games.
Yes.
So last night, Bradley Beal had 53 for the Wizards. Mm-hmm. Tonight, he had 55 on back to back nights. So he had 250 plus games on back to back nights. The last player to do that was Kobe Bryant, March 23rd, 2007. Mm-hmm. And I think that was that streak where he just had 40 point games.
Yeah, he was going off.
And stuff. Prior to Kobe Bryant doing that,
who was it?
Nobody done it. Michael Jordan did it in 1987.
How about that? All right, how about that? More of your guys' phone calls. Eric and Marina Del Rey, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, what's up, Alan? My story about Kobe is kind of like this full circle thing. When I moved out to L.A., it was the year that we beat the Magic in the finals.
2009,
right? Yeah, 2009. Mm-hmm. And a couple months before that, my dad passed away very suddenly and unexpectedly. So in a time where I was really looking for hope and just good feelings, winning that finals like really did it for me. So that was like Kobe the player coming to, like, you know, cheer me up, help me, you know, give me good feelings when I needed it. And then fast forward to 2017. So my dad was also born in Philadelphia, and through him I became a Philadelphia Eagles fan. 2017 we won the Super Bowl. And after we won, I kind of had these mixed emotions. Like, half of me was beyond excited because it had been, you know, it was our first one, so I've been a fan forever.
Yep.
And then some of it was sadness because he wasn't here to celebrate it with me. Mm-hmm. So after they won, I was all over social media just looking at stuff related to the Eagles, and all of a sudden I see the clip of Kobe.
How great is that video with him and his family?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he had his second youngest daughter in his hands, and he was doing the Kobe fist pump, you know, like he'd make during his games. It was weird because all of a sudden he kind of wasn't Kobe the player to me anymore. He was like Kobe the fellow Eagles fan, Kobe the dad. And just to go through 9 years of seeing a transformation of a person, an athlete, a hero, it was really cool, and it was really you know, it's one of my favorite Kobe moments, and he wasn't even on the floor.
You know, Eric, you know what's funny about that video? I don't know what it was. Maybe a couple weeks ago, somebody had posted it on social, and I forgot about it. I remember when it happened back in 2017, but, you know, I just forgot about it. And when I saw the video, it's funny because the way he was cheering as if he was a little kid excited that his team won, I'm like, Kobe, wait a minute. That's us watching you for those five NBA championships.
Right.
And I think there's something about that. You mentioned it kind of everything came back full circle. He became the fan, and there he was with his family watching in a living room, something that we did watching Kobe and appreciating his craft at what he did on the basketball floor. But I appreciate you telling that story. That's a great story.
Hey, man, no problem. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, that's a great kind of perspective to look at it. It's a great perspective because we spent so much time. I mean, I've said this, and I mentioned it more right after, you know, the Kobe passing. I think I did maybe 4 or 5 shows in a row where we were talking so much about this. So I'm talking about intimate stories as well, and I said that I think some of the best memories I had in my childhood with my family is around a TV in the living room where Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal were battling for NBA championships, whether they were losing or whether they were winning. Obviously, we know they got 3 of them, but it is kind of funny to hear somebody tell a story and to think back at that that video where he's cheering like a little kid. And I'm like, that's us, and here's Kobe doing it for his team. Rick in L.A. Rick, you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, what's happening, man? I just want to give out a shout-out to you guys for giving so much love for Kobe Bryant. Quickly, I don't want to take too much time here, but I'm a paparazzi in Los Angeles, California, and I got so many interactions with Kobe, and the personality that he was out on the streets was very compassionate and loving, and very. I saw the way he interacted with the people out there. You know, that Mamba energy lives on, and we should all carry it with us because that's what the legacy that I took from him is that, you know, just be giving of yourself and be kind to others and love one another. I was fortunate enough to be at Game 7. He fulfilled one of my bucket lists to see us beat the Celtics, you know, at Game 7, which will always be in my heart. And, you know, seeing him play against LeBron in that Christmas game where, you know, we didn't have a chance of going anywhere, but we beat LeBron that time. And also when I got video of him when he took one of his younger daughters to the World Series and him giving me shout-outs about the Dodgers and I just want people to know that he was a kid at heart because he had a lot of love inside him, and you could feel it. And, you know, when I deal with these celebrities, you can tell which celebrity has a lot of love coming worldwide because they got this energy just resonates, and that's what Kobe Bryant had. Just love one another in Kobe's honor.
Rick, thank you, brother. Appreciate you calling in. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. No surprise at all, fantastic calls from L.A. That's always a consistent theme. Just great fans, great callers, big hearts, and, you know, as we continue to pay our respect to Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, every victim that lost their life on January 26th, and also, you know, show respect to the Bryant family and these just great tributes that went on today across the street at Staples Center. All right, I'll take more of your guys' phone calls coming up. If you want to be a part of the broadcast, 877-710-ESPN, and I'll make sure to get you on the radio. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. This is Moonlight Sonata. This was performed earlier this afternoon by Alicia Keys. Man, what a beautiful, beautiful performance by Alicia Keys. Beautiful performance by Christina Aguilera. Beautiful performance by Beyonce. I mean, you talk about the best of the best at their craft. We got a chance to see them pay their tribute towards Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant. And the story behind that, was that Palenka telling that story? That was Palenka telling that story, right? Where Kobe wanted to learn how to play this song, and it was some kind of a road game. He didn't get a chance to be with his family, so he wanted to do something special for his family. So he just decided to learn one of the toughest things to possibly play. But Alicia Keys' performance,
a Beethoven
was
song
today.
Too, yeah, a Beethoven just, song.
You know, it was being there, being at the memorial was that was surreal. You know what I mean? And when I say surreal, it was surreal because that's what we were there for, right? Never in my, you know, wildest dreams, and nobody's wildest dreams, would they have thought that we were going to be at Staples Center in 2020, and this is why we're there. Only thing you could think of is, okay, you know, Lakers got a chance at an NBA championship. How great is a playoff run going to be? That's all we really think about. And that's the part that I still have difficulty is just kind of comprehending everything. And I guess you could say accepting it, just saying like, okay, well, this is the reality. Nothing you could do about it now. That part I have a difficult time just accepting. But That's the reality of where we are right now. I do want to play. Phone number, by the way, is 877-710-ESPN. I know there's a lot of Laker fans that want to be a part of the show tonight and, tell Kobe stories or how, Kobe's life will impact them moving forward. Whatever the case is, I'll take your guys' calls. I do want to play something from Michael Jordan. You know, I don't think anybody knew how close these two were together. And Michael Jordan explaining what Kobe Bryant was to him.
What Kobe Bryant was to me was the inspiration that someone truly cared about the way I played the game or the way that he wanted to play the game. He wanted to be the best basketball player that he could be. And as I got to know him, I wanted to be the best big brother that I could be. To do that, you had to put up with the aggravation, the late night calls, or the dumb questions. I took great pride as I got to know Kobe Bryant that he was just trying to be a better person, a better basketball player. We talked about business. We talked about family. We talked about everything. And he was just trying to be a better person.
Michael was special today. He really was. I think a lot of people love the fact that Michael Jordan was out there and can, you know, connect with some of this fan base that's hurting, and also to be able to tell such personal, intimate stories from the greatest to ever do it. So I thought it was special. Let's go to the Sprint People's Hotline. Wayne on the 101 freeway. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, hi. It's great to talk to you.
You got it, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Kobe was a sort of center of my relationship to my son, as he was for many people. I was a single dad, and, you know, we watched the games together. My son was the same exact age and ended up with three daughters and the same kind of man that Kobe was, and it really tore him up when Kobe passed. And it reminded me that I had had an amazing interaction with Kobe and Vanessa. I live in Santa Monica, and I was at the local cinema one night, and Kobe came in with Vanessa, and I was standing in the popcorn line, and Kobe got in the line next to mine, and Vanessa got behind me, and I saw them laughing back and forth, and at one point, Kobe moved up one spot, and Vanessa turned, and I looked at her, and she said to me, "He competes for everything." And I looked at him, and he looked at me. He looked back at me and says, "Man, don't even think it." And I said, "Maybe you'd like to go in front of me." And she did, and goes, "Man, that was so cold." And it was just such a sweet moment. I just saw how much they loved each other and how just what great human beings they were. And it was a great memory. I'd forgotten completely about it until I was sharing with my son on Kobe's passing. And it's just been really an amazing process watching everybody go through this collectively and how deeply he touched so many of us.
Yeah, that's Wayne. That's a powerful thing. I think that's the best thing to kind of stage it right there is how much he touched a lot of people. You know what I mean? And he touched people in a lot of different ways. And I think the important thing moving forward is we got to try and do as best as we can to kind of continue on some of this legacy. And what I mean by that, I'd love to see more athletes, more of these male athletes support the women's game. Right? Like, I think that would be a beautiful thing because that was obviously very important to Kobe Bryant. I think we could all be, if you're a dad out there, strive to be a better father. If you're, a husband out there, try to be a better husband. You know, whatever it is, you know, there was such a connection with Kobe Bryant that went beyond the basketball court. That was more than just the basketball. And the basketball part, what are you going to say? 5 NBA championships with a purple and gold, played with one team for 20 years, such a loyal fan base all around the world, and you had one player, an icon, a legend, representing your jersey for as long as he did. So that's obviously special. More of your guys' phone calls when we come back. Laker fans, let's keep talking about Kobe Bryant. This is a day that we definitely try as best as we can to remember Kobe, remember Gianna Bryant, and continue their legacy. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710-ESPN. All right, the Sprint People's Hotline, or the Sprint Hotline, is brought to you by Sprint. Join 710 ESPN at Sprint in West Covina this Saturday, February 29th from 12 to 2. Show your love for your team by wearing your jersey, because Sprint is sending one diehard fan on an ultimate on a trip to the Ultimate Football Fan Fest in Las Vegas with a Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus in hand to experience the future stars of the gridiron. It's all going down this Saturday, February 29th from 12 to 2 at Sprint in West Covina, 310 South California Avenue. We'll see you guys there. Sprint Hotline, let's go to Mike in Cerritos. Mike, you're on 710
hey,
ESPN.
Alan, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. Thanks for calling in.
Good, good. Appreciate you taking my call. I'm calling because I was listening on my way home from work. I was listening to your show. And obviously, the conversation of the evening is obviously Kobe Bryant and family, deservedly so. And I was just listening to some of your callers call in, and I was hearing your response and the emphasis put on what Kobe meant to Los Angeles, and more importantly, not just through sports, but as a family man. And I was listening to the callers, and I think one of the callers mentioned that he'd heard the news, he was suicidal, something to that respect. And another kid called from college, and he was depressed and not understanding how he was going to graduate or determined to graduate. And I just wanted to comment on that. And I heard your response. You gave good advice. But, you know, I'm a person that believes that, you know, the Mamba mentality is a real thing, that people should have to, you know, within themselves. I think we rely on others to, you know, encourage us to do everything that we can't do. And I think we need to put that to the side, more or less, and look into our own inner selves to, you know, reach for what our goals and attain those things. You know, I've been in law enforcement for nearly 35 years, and I've seen a lot of different things in my career. And, you know, it takes a lot to make it 35 years unscathed. And I tell people all the time, I say, listen, don't look for others to be your catalyst. You be your catalyst. Get out there and make it happen. And, you know, and I just think, and from the aspect of the father component, you know, everybody, it's their obligation to be good parents, to commit to your children, to invest in your children. You shouldn't have to rely solely on Kobe and look to others to be an example for you. That's what you are. And that's what I would encourage people to do, is don't look for others to lead you. You're the parent. You lead. Teach your children. Love your children. And that's kind of what I want to say.
Appreciate it, Mike. Thank you, man. Well put. Jason in L.A., you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for having me today.
You got it, man. You got it.
Yeah, so, I went today to the memorial. It was just absolutely beautiful. It was amazing. Had to leave my place around 7:30 just to make it there on time. Mm-hmm. But overall, it was just an amazing experience. Today's actually my birthday. So being able to spend and, you know, celebrate these people that lost their lives in this tragic event, it was just really special for me to be able to see all the video clips of Kobe. You know, he was a great part of my life growing up. It's just really tragic, the events that occurred. And then I also just wanted to talk about how, you know, it just really hit home for me, the whole memorial about children. You know, I have a six-year-old son. And just listening to everything that everyone had to say, all the speeches, watching Michael Jordan cry about Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. Everything was just absolutely touching and just really put life in a different perspective for me. And just want, you know, I just want to be a better family man. And it was a beautiful day today. So it's forever going to be enshrined in my heart. This birthday is my 26th birthday. So it was just an amazing opportunity to be able to be there.
Jason, appreciate you calling in, telling this story. You know, one of the things that I enjoyed most, this afternoon, this morning, look at all those people that got together today. Can you imagine how many people were watching, this memorial for Kobe Bryant, whether on Spectrum or any platform, social, whatever the case was, listening to our broadcast, and then 20,000 people pile in at Staples Center. You know, it's a true respect for somebody that meant a lot to this community. It's a true respect for somebody that touched people in many different ways off the basketball court. on the basketball court, the resume speaks for itself, but to just kind of hear everybody's story about what he meant off the court. I thought Jimmy Kimmel has some great things that, first of all, Jimmy Kimmel did an absolutely fantastic job as the MC of this entire thing. Here's Jimmy Kimmel from earlier today.
Well, you picked the wrong person to guide you through. I'm going to tell you that right now. I want to thank everyone for being here, and thank you for gathering to celebrate the lives of Alyssa Altobelli, her parents, John and Carrie Altobelli, Peyton Chester, her mother, Sarah Chester, Christina Mauser, Ara Zabayan, Gigi Bryant, and her father, Kobe Bryant. This is a sad day, but it is also a celebration of life, of their lives, and of life itself in the building where those of us who are Lakers fans and Kobe fans celebrated so many of the best times of our lives.
All right, that's Jimmy Kimmel right there. Jay Lee, you're on Jay Lee in L.A. You're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead.
Man, thank you guys so much for taking my call.
Of course, man.
Man, what a day. L.A. native, born and raised. Man, we just seen Kobe from day one, man. It just felt like we just lost one of our – he was our MJ, man. And just so thankful that we just got a chance to see him every day play. It was just such a tribute, such a joy to have the opportunity to see that man play the sport that we all love. And seeing MJ talk about him today was just amazing.
That was amazing. Couldn't agree more.
Just seeing how much he loved his brother. And just a reminder that I think we need to just be better on how we talk about our legends and just talk about them in a positive light as much as possible, because you can see how much you truly loved him today. And I was just so glad we got a chance to see that, man. And just quickly, just prayers to the family, to everybody that lost. We just feel it, man. We really feel it. It's just been a tough year for L.A., period. But I just thank God Kobe gave us the love that he gave us, and it's going to live with us forever. And it's personal for me because the day he died was the day I lost my mother in 2007. And what's crazy is that through those two losses, January 26th was the day that my wife was born. And I just feel like Kobe's always going to be a personal part of me, and I love him, and I love everybody that loved him. And I think he just reminded us that we all just need to be better on a daily basis and love those that are close to you, love yours, because you just never know what it is, man. And we just thank you for giving everybody the platform to mourn together. And at the end of the day, we all going to rise and we're all going to get through this, man. Much love, ESPN. Much love.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jay Lee. Thank you, man. Well put. Yeah, tough. You know what I mean? It's tough. And every time you start hearing, you know, personal stories, how it affects a certain person, I mean, I'm just the middleman here, you know, couple intros, play a piece of sound, and then back to you guys. And, I appreciate you guys kind of telling these stories. I appreciate it. And I know that there's probably a lot of people too, you know, we kind of forget. Think about all the listeners that throughout Southern California that tuned into this, or they're listening on their app and, you know, streaming this live or whatever the case is. And there's something about, it's almost like therapeutic to hear other people talk about it, therapeutic for people to tell their own personal stories. I know it's helpful to me, and I know that, you know, at the end of the day, however we look at this, it's a tragic story and it's a sad story, but maybe there's some positives that we can take out of it. And what else are you going to do? Like, there's no other way to approach it. All right, Mike in L.A. Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, yeah. So I was at the memorial today. Just wanted to share my thoughts. It was an incredible experience. And, you know, hearing MJ speak, one of my idols, was, you know, really hard to listen to him tear up and see that. I did also want to add, I'm the guy for anyone who's following the murals on Instagram. I've been running that page, Kobe Mural, and I just wanted to thank all the fans for your support, the folks that have been sending stuff in, the artists that have done just incredible work in the city. It's really bringing us together. So I just wanted to share my thoughts and thank everyone in the city for coming together.
What's your Instagram? Tell me so people that don't know about it, throw it out there.
Sure. For some people who don't know, it's Kobe Mural, all one word. And there's a map with every location of every mural of Kobe or Gigi worldwide, not just in LA, on KobeMural.com. So check out the Instagram page. We're doing this for the fans, no money involved, and appreciate all the support.
Mike, great stuff. Thank you, man. Appreciate you calling in, and thanks for putting that page up. I'm on the page right now. Shows all the different Kobe murals, not just across LA, but I think he mentioned worldwide as well, and different parts of the country, Chicago, New York, Miami, Texas, Melrose, Kuwait, South Bay, so everywhere. Appreciate you getting that page up. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. One of the things that, you know, look, I know we got some basketball coming up. Lakers beat the Boston Celtics yesterday by 2. I mentioned it to Mason and Ireland. I was on with them before I did this show, and I talked a little bit about the game. And if I'm going to reference anything to the game, we just talked real briefly. I thought the game was closer than it probably should have been. No Kemba Walker for the Boston Celtics. And I talked about how much I'm looking forward to have Markieff Morris on this team. The basketball part of things it becomes secondary in moments like this. You know what I mean? Like, I know I got to talk Lakers basketball, and I know I'll continue to talk about the actual team. And I think sometimes there's a time and a place for it. I thought today was very, very important to spend a lot of our attention, a lot of our time talking about Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant, especially when there's that much attention today on it. I know this is going to happen. What's going to happen is down the road, I'm going to just randomly pick a day. Funches and I will be sitting in the middle of summer, and we're going to say, you know what, let's do all Kobe today. And we'll do another 2.5 hours, 3 hours, whatever the case is. And we'll talk about Kobe Bryant. And we'll remember Gianna Bryant, Kobe Bryant, and everybody else that lost their lives on January 26th. We'll do that. But today, it's very, very important, I think, to grab phone calls from ESPN LA listeners, grab phone calls from people all throughout Los Angeles, and remember one of the greatest to do it. Because not only was one of the greatest to do it on the basketball court, but is so many personal stories and personal memories that we have of Kobe, and I think it's great to share some of that stuff. All right, more of your guys' phone calls when we come back. Plus, you know, we do this thing called Power Five. Typically, Funches and I do it. We changed the entire, you know, obviously the blueprint for today's show. But Power Five, we're going to stay with today. And the reason why we're going to stay with it, top five moments Kobe inspired us, and we'll kind of rank our top five. It could be on the court, it could be off the court, whatever the case is. We'll do that. Some of your guys' phone calls as well. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Eric on the 105 freeway. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, Eric.
Hello, guys. I was on my way to work. I go in at 11 in the morning, so I left my DVR recording, and so I was hearing it on the radio, you know, and right when Vanessa, well, I started crying as soon as Jimmy Kimmel got up there.
Sure.
And, so when I got to work, my eyes were blushed out red. You know, I work with a bunch of guys, so I walked through the break room real quick, and the guys were like, hey, come here, sit down, you know, hey. And I just walked by real quick, and I go, I got to punch in, man. Mm-hmm. And I punched in. I went straight to the restroom to blow my nose. I didn't want, you know, the guys to see me crying, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough. And quick story, I've been there for 10 years, and the guys call me Kobe for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because 10 years ago, I took a Kobe bobblehead doll for good luck when they were in the finals against the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it on my forklift, and the guys were like, hey, who's that? What is that? What, you know? And what's that all about? I'm like, hey, man, it's for good luck. You know, we got to win the finals, man. And I'm only 5'5", so they were like, oh, you're the same size as that bobblehead doll, little Kobe. And ever since then, it started with little Kobe, and then it just stuck with Kobe, you know. And it sucked,
walking into work today. You know what I say?
Mm-hmm.
They were like, "Hey, Kobe, we thought you were at Staples Center." And I'm like, "Nah, man. Well, I'm there in spirit, you know." Mm-hmm. But it sucks. I wore my Kobe jersey to work today, and you know, some guys they don't love the Lakers and Kobe like some fans like we do, you know.
Sure.
And
sure.
And I understand that, you know, but for people like us, that it's, I have my two kids, I got my wife, you know, and
it's meaningful.
It's been an honor in the last 10 years. But I go to work and some guys don't even know my real name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys thought my real name was Kobe, and I'm like, "Nah, man, that's just what they call me." But a couple of guys said, "Hey, man, we can't call you Kobe no more." And I'm like, "Hey, I'm good with that, man. Just call me Eric from now on." Mm-hmm. I'm good. But
no, it's, you know, a great listen. It's a great story, and I think some of these things, Eric, it's like everybody's got their own personal story, you know. I always feel like somebody's got their own personal story, so I appreciate you telling that story. All right, let's do our Power Five, and you know, Funches, let's just do this. So on our Power Five today, I mentioned this to you: our top five moments where it was something Kobe related that inspired you. So
yeah.
It could be anything you want, uh-huh. You know. So there's no real game plan to this, but I figured that's what we're gonna do. So. Let's start with number five for you.
Okay.
Give me something that stood out.
Well, it's a John Ireland story.
Okay.
Where, 1 year the Lakers were playing on a road for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Kobe asked the Lakers what everyone was doing. And the Lakers said everyone was basically on their own. And he got, everyone to come down in the team hotel, you know, conference room, whatever.
Yeah.
Got him a big spread, you know, mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, got him turkey, ham, lobster, steak. And, you know, that teaches me that, you know, you always got to take care of the people around you, you know.
True.
You always got to take care of your family.
How long ago was that, you think?
Probably like, more than 10 years ago, maybe.
Oh, more than 10 years
yeah,
ago. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it tells me that you got to just take care of your team, your family, your friends, you know.
I'm going to do something that you do on a lot of weeks. Do you know what that is?
A tie.
I got a tie.
A tie.
Got a tie at number
five. Here we
go. All right, my tie at number five, all the times that I tell you can't tie, here I am doing a tie. Here's my tie at number five. Whenever tie at number five, dear basketball, like the fact that this guy won an Oscar.
Yeah.
And I loved how he talked about how one of the things he was hoping to do later on in his career mm-hmm. was to show other athletes that, hey, you could follow other passions your sport.
This is not the end.
This isn't the end. And you don't have to just be an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to try and be an assistant coach
exactly.
or a coach, something like that. You can follow other passions.
Mm-hmm.
And, I thought that was, it's still insane to think Kobe won an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, won an Oscar
crazy.
For basketball. So that's number five. What else? The other thing that's tied for number five is those air balls in Utah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know, I say that because think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how much criticism Kobe Bryant, a rookie in 1996, 1997, got for not shooting one air ball, not two, not three, but four air balls against the Utah Jazz in the playoffs.
Western Conference Finals, too.
And how much criticism that Kobe Bryant got for that. And the reason that's one of my favorite memories of Kobe is because it didn't stop him.
No, not at all.
You know, it just fueled him.
It's almost like that was the start of the legacy.
100%. And it just fueled him. I actually had a caller, it might have been the night that Kobe passed or the following night, talk about that specifically, and I'm like, that's such a great observation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my two number fives.
Number four for me was the flinch, what everyone knows as the flinch. The Matt Barnes in the NBA Finals, he was taking the ball out of inbounds and just totally just got the ball into Kobe's face, and Kobe Bryant didn't flinch
at all. Did you ever listen to that All the Smoke podcast
with
Matt Barnes?
Where Matt Barnes was trying to say he didn't flinch or whatever.
Well, Matt Barnes said he just didn't know how close the ball was to his face.
Yeah.
And he's like, of course, out of all people in the world, Kobe Bryant has the ball that close to his face and doesn't even move.
And that just teaches me, like, you know, no matter what life, you know, gives to you or whatever, you cannot flinch and don't run away scared.
Hey, that's a good way to put it.
Exactly.
I probably would have flinched. I'm just letting you know.
I would have flinched from a mile away, man.
That's too close.
It is.
Number four for me is when Kobe tore his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, Funches. The guy ruptures his Achilles.
Yeah.
First of all, was playing, trying to do everything he can to just get the Lakers into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And was so set on doing that, that decided after he ruptured his Achilles, he was going to walk up to the freaking free throw line, hit two free throws because it was a close game, and he wasn't going to get any help from anybody. He was going to walk right back through that tunnel to the back locker room and wait for all those cameras to come because he knew he blew something that was going to cost him some time.
Yeah, most guys don't even – they get carried off the floor when they blow Achilles. He walked off.
They get carried off the floor for, you know, much smaller
exactly.
injuries.
Exactly, sprained ankles.
That number four, yeah. I think, is very symbolic of Kobe Bryant just not giving up. What's your number three?
Number three for me is just Kobe the father. I mean, I'm not a father. You're not a father. But, you know, watching him win his girls, it inspires you. You know, whenever we get kids or whatever, you know, I want to be
that love.
I want to be half the father he is. Mm. Half the father. Because I know if I'm half the father he is, I'm a good father.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Good way to put it. Number three for me, I think there's something special with that Mamba Academy. And I really, really hope that, you know, the right people with Vanessa Bryant kind of take over that Mamba Academy, because I think it's something special, and I think it's something that could last. I think it's something that could be around for a long time. So I think with all the stuff that I would say it's inspiring to watch what Kobe Bryant accomplished, I'm going to go with that number three Mamba Academy, because I think – that's got a lot of good in it, and it's got a lot of direction for a lot of women athletes. So I'd love to see that thing continue to grow.
Number two for me, the Achilles. And we just mentioned it a couple minutes ago, the Achilles. It's just crazy. It's still just crazy to me how he just still can walk up the court with Achilles here.
Number two for me is that final game. You know, 20 years in the NBA and the way he just had Staples Center, just remember his final out. And him with his entire family there afterwards, that's a special moment. What's your number one?
Number one for me, winning an Oscar. And, you know, it tells me that, you know, we talked about it, that athletes don't have to just be analysts or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, there's a second act, too, you know, a second act in life. You know, you're done with your first act, you just don't have to roll over and die. There's also more to life after you retire or something like that.
My number one is when he won Game 7 here at Staples Center and he had his family all around him.
Yeah.
That was one of the most beautiful things to see, and you know how special that moment
was
for Kobe Bryant.
Of course.
All right, thank you, Funches. Appreciate everybody who tuned in. As always, we greatly appreciate it. I know it's a tough time for Laker fans out there, but we greatly appreciate you guys being a part of our broadcast, and obviously this was a big tribute today. We're going to end the show with Vanessa Bryant saying her goodbyes to Kobe and Gianna.
He taught us all valuable lessons about life and sports through his NBA career, his books, his show Detail, and his Punies podcast series. And we're so thankful he left those lessons and stories behind for us. He was thoughtful and wrote the best love letters and cards, and Gigi had his wonderful ability to express her feelings into paper and make you feel her love through her words. She was thoughtful like him. They were so easy to love. Everyone naturally gravitated towards them. They were funny, happy, silly, and they loved life. They were so full of joy and adventure. God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team. We love and miss you, Boo Boo and Gigi. May you both rest in peace and have fun in heaven until we meet again one day. We love you both and miss you forever and always. Mommy.